The fifth angel sounded, this is the beginning of chapter 9. And I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. To him was given the key of the bottomless pit. This is very important for us. This fifth star falling, the star falling with the fifth trumpet sound. First, the star fell from heaven, which was each individual self-will. And then ultimately, the star falls as the whole will of the earth. As each individual loses self-will, the earth loses self-will, and divine will becomes more recognized. Now, the key to the bottomless pit is called this star because as man loses self-will, it's like taking off a disguise. He recognizes the will that has been moving him was not his own will. He has been moved by a will other than his own under the belief that it was his will. And it wasn't divine will that was moving him either. He sees the nature of his false will as his false ambitions. It's as if a hypnotist within himself was saying, do this, do that. And slavishly he went forth and did this and did that, thinking it was his own will. At this point we learn we really were under a state of hypnosis, moved by a will not of the Father, but not our own, while thinking it was our own will. When Paul told us, have ye that mind that was in Christ Jesus, he was telling us about the false will that moves through the mind of man. When Jesus told us, be ye reborn of the water and the Spirit, he too was telling us about the false will that moves through the mind of man. When he was telling us to lay down our life and pick it up again, he was telling us that the will which moves through each individual human mind is the tempter, a deceiver from the first. And now this key to the bottomless pit is the revelation to each individual that the bottomless pit is the world mind. No matter what he does while in a human sense of mind, he's in a bottomless pit. There's no end to the ways he can be fooled. And now man begins to have misgivings about his work on earth. He thought he was a great success. Or he thought he was a great failure, but he was neither. He cannot be a failure, and he cannot be a success. He must learn that I of mine own self can do nothing. Man's idea of success is not God's idea of success. God's idea of success is live in your eternal life. God's idea of success is a new earth and a new heaven. That is not our idea of material success. God's idea of success is the continual expression of newness, of health that can never be impaired by anything on this earth, of beauty without ugliness, of joy without sorrow. God's idea of success is not vulnerability to the things of this world, God's idea of success is not success in the world, but success in the kingdom of God. If we were limited to our own ideas of success, we would never hear the will of the Father saying, "Come into my kingdom, be ye reborn of the Spirit. I in the midst of thee am the resurrection." Do these sound like the words to tell us how to be successful in the material world? And so self-will finally discovers its concept of success was fine up to a point. And then it turns out to be the delusion of a lifetime. It isn't the success of spiritual realization. It isn't the success of the birth of the Christ in you. It's the success that cannot walk through the valley of the shadow of death, fearing no evil. But now, with the new inner impulse, with the opening of a realization of your spiritual selfhood, comes the desire to seek not my way, not my will. And we are lifted into the great rhythm of the spiritual universe. We have unmasked the tempter in our midst, the false sense of self which says, "I, of mine own self, can do many things." Now, you must learn to recognize this false sense of self, or else for you, the fifth trumpet has not done its work. This false sense of self should make you look at your own works now, as is described in the Revelation. For this is how John now sees men as they are opened up, as they learn to look out at the works of their own human efforts. He opened the bottomless pit. There arose a smoke out of the pit. You see, out of mortal mind come the works, the smoke of mortal mind, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Sounds like Los Angeles smog. But all over the earth, the work of mortal mind becomes a mist, so that we do not see the real sun and the real sky. We see our concept. We do not see the living Christ. We look through the glass darkly of our mortal mind. Now, this mortal mind is not just an abstraction. It's not something out there. Mortal mind is being revealed as the force in a person that looks out from within through that person's eyes into the world. It is the world mind individualized in each living child. Each child grows up with that mortal mind until something happens, until it learns and can stand on a new identity and say, "Woman, what have I to do with thee?" Until it can stand on the realization that spirit cannot be born or die. That spirit can only do the will of the Father. That spirit does not live in mortal works in the bottomless pit. That spirit is eternally free, not held in prison to the mind. There came out of the smoke, this means out of the works of mortal mind, locusts upon the earth. Unto them was given power as scorpions of the earth have power. And now we are seeing what has eaten up all of our efforts through all of our mortal days. The locusts are those works which to us seem so marvelous, rewarding. And yet, in spite of how marvelously rewarding they appeared, they ate up the fruits of our endeavor. They were great works to us, but now they appear as locusts. We see them in their true light. We begin to see that the works of man are not the works of God. The works of man turn into works of violence, into works of hate, into works of loss, into works of death, into works of unrest, into works of war. We see whole nations at the mercy of the works of man. We see all of youth being moved out to the roll of drums. Why? Because man says, we need a rice paddy in Vietnam. Or there's something over here that we must get. To him it sounds wonderful. He needs these things, and he'll pay the price of human life for it. And now all this is being revealed as locusts, false concepts that destroy. The lost years of the locusts are mortal mind living itself through each individual, leading us into false ambitions that destroy themselves and end in nothing. These locusts to us appear to be great things until something in us is awakened to the reality of them, and we see them as a nothingness posing as a somethingness. We are being opened to the lost years of the locusts, and the key to the bottomless pit is the recognition of mortal mind for what it is. The minute you are no longer under the belief that you're looking at snakes when there are none, you're out of the hypnosis. The recognition that the snakes are not there is the awakening from the hypnosis that there was snakes, that there were snakes where there weren't any. The recognition of their nothingness, of their not being present, is your awakening from the sleep. The recognition of the deeds of material consciousness as being a nothingness, a perishable, without substance, without divine law, without divine consent, without divine purpose. In this recognition that the bottomless pit is the material universe, it is just like coming into the realization that there are no snakes in your living room. You are awakening from the falseness which up to that point was a reality. And so the angel, the fifth angel who sounds, awakens us to the reality that there is no need for war. There is no competition in spirit. There is no lack in one place and an abundance in another in spirit. We have been operating under man-made laws, not divine laws. And the price we pay are the newspaper headlines, the problems that each family and each country face, because we have been so convinced that we all knew the way. It was good enough just to touch the Bible occasionally and say, well, I believe in God, now I go out and do what I think is best. And with the fifth trumpet, we discover that I didn't go out and do what I thought was best. I went out and did what mortal mind thought was best. It wasn't me doing anything, it was mortal mind doing. It wasn't my decision, it was mortal mind's decision. It wasn't my action, it was mortal mind's action. It wasn't even my body, it was mortal mind's body. We are seeing the image universe of mortal mind. We are seeing why there is anarchy in the material universe. We are seeing why there are opposites, why there are great gaps, why there is pain. It isn't there. It isn't there at all. Only God is there. Only the spiritual universe is there. Only the allness of God is. But we were confused by the serpent in our midst, who looked out and said, oh, no, no, not only God. Look what's out there. There's a great opportunity for you. You can be somebody. And you better start storing things in barns, because tomorrow there's going to be a great deficit on the earth, a great lack, a great famine. You better get your food in while you can. And what about stocks and bonds? You better watch out. They're going to hurt you. We accepted that there is another world beside God's perfect universe. And to us, it was real. And our great ambitions, they were great things. We were doing the works of God. We convinced ourselves. We know better. We have not been doing the works of God. Only Christ can do the works of God. No mortal being can do the works of the immortal self. The flesh profiteth nothing, and it's time to know it. Fifth trumpet. There came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. Unto them was given power, and the scorpions of the earth, as the scorpions of the earth have power. You see, the power of protection of God has been removed. And now our own works can sting us. Finally, we can see that we are stung by our own self-activity. And it was commanded to them that they should hurt the grass of the earth, not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree. That means those who have been sealed with spiritual awareness. But only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads, those who are not seeking to live totally in the will of the Father, those who are still lingering in the consciousness that matter is real, unaware that matter is mortal mind appearing as material forms. The unillumined must still receive the sting of their own work. To them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And this 5 months then means that they would go through 5 different degrees of consciousness until the sixth trumpet would sound. They had to be lifted to a place where they could receive spiritual impulse. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. Living in matter, they had to live in the laws of matter. And matter being our belief that God is not all, The moment we are in a material consciousness, we are saying God is not all, because God is not matter. And our consciousness of matter is the statement that God is not all. If you have any doubt about God not being matter, remember that any material being can be shot any day of his life, and you're not going to shoot God. And it doesn't matter how good that material being has been. There was a judge over here in San Rafael. He was one of those living saints to his friends. He's not around today. Over the weekend, something happened. It doesn't matter how good we've been or how bad we've been. You couldn't have been worse than Saul. But he was blinded. And that blinding might have been a curse to others, but it wasn't. It was a blessing. Because he was blinded to his material consciousness. And out of it was born his Christ awareness. Our blinding need not be that violent. It can be the gentle realization that God being all and God being spirit, spirit is all. And therefore, I will seek first the kingdom of spirit. And all things must therefore be added, because having the substance of spirit, I must have the forms. Now man doubts himself. His spiritual consciousness begins to make him see his own works as locusts. And in these days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and they shall desire it. They shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. You remember Job? I wished he could die. Fortunately, he didn't. He learned the truth of God instead, and found that there is no death in God. We merely die to that which is not true, to that which is unreal, that the real may show forth. The shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. Men going out to conquer the world. Now they begin to see that when they were doing that, they weren't conquering the world. Those horses prepared for battle were only locusts that were going to devour the rider. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, victory. Their faces were the faces of men, as the faces of men. And this is man's conceit. As he rides out on his horse, that's how his deeds look to him, things riding to victory. He feels that he's doing God's work. He's the great image and likeness of the Father. But he's not. They had as their hair, hair of women. And their teeth were as the teeth of lions. Now we're describing the deeds of men in material consciousness. They're beginning to see that they were lured by the false beauty of their own deeds. Hair like women. They were admiring their great deeds. And their deeds had teeth like lions. They were tied, chained to their deeds, which they considered deeds of great vision and courage. Their deeds had teeth like lions to chain them to these deeds. This describes the way we have all felt about our human accomplishments. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. And these breastplates are the desire of the human for power, for advantage. Our deeds gave us power and advantage. They lifted us above the mass. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots and of many horses running to battles. And the wings are the great works we thought we were doing. You've seen those little birds as they just stand in the middle of nowhere, the wings just are going a mile a minute. That's how our wings appear to us. We're moving so fast, but we're getting nowhere in the material consciousness. And they had tails like unto scorpions. There were stings in their tails, and there were power there to hurt men 5 months. These are the deeds then which look to us so great, which turn out to be locusts in disguise, consuming our time and our effort and our human lives. And Spirit says, this isn't the way of the Father. Put off the garment of mortality. Walk in the Spirit. You'll discover all of the things you have striven to accumulate, you already had. There was nothing missing. You had the fullness of God. You've had it from the first. You shall have it unto everlasting. I will never leave thee. Everything that we spend a human lifetime to get is but a paltry pittance compared to the allness that is already in our substance as the child of God. That great secret is revealed to you as the voice of the Spirit, as the power of the Spirit, as the action of the Spirit touches your consciousness. All that I have been seeking, I am. How could I be the child of God and be less than a perfect child? Could the child of God have lacked anything? What was all my striving and seeking but the belief that I was not the child of God? And so, not being the child of God in my consciousness, I went out to secure those things which the child of God already was born with, already has. I merely denied my inheritance. I denied my identity. I and 3 billion others. The child of God has all that the Father has. Who is this human seeking? Who is this human striving? Who is this human who is protecting himself? He who is unaware that he is the child of God. That is each of us in our human consciousness. And now our works appear to us as locusts. We see we have striven to obtain that which we already possess. What greater waste could there be? The mortal mind in us has consumed us. We are being lifted out of it. And these locusts had over them a king, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek hath his name Apollyon. I don't know what it means in the Hebrew, but Apollyon means destroyer in Greek. And so the head of these locusts, these false works of man, is called destroyer. Again, we are being told, mortal mind makes us think we're going to victory while it destroys that which it builds. Why does it destroy? Because it is building an imitation universe of images called material self. God is all. The revelation of St. John is no different than the revelation of Jesus directly to the world. God is all. And because man cannot accept that, there is more scripture to be revealed, and there is more scripture to be revealed in the living Bible of your own soul. Ever will that soul reveal to you the nature of the allness of spirit until the day when the false human consciousness steps aside and the soul establishes the kingdom of heaven on earth where you stand. Revealed, realized, understood, and lived in as your immortal self. You find then you have no personal ambition. There's nothing you have to go out to accomplish, but rather you will live in a different way. In a way that it is being recommended very forcibly now by the trumpets that you learn to live here and now. And with the sixth trumpet, we are seen that way. One woe is past. Behold, there come two more woes hereafter. The sixth trumpet, the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, now loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Remember those four angels at the ends of the earth? They were bound in the great river Euphrates. That means that we were blind to their presence. We were not awake to them. We were sleeping in the great river Euphrates. Sense perception, the sea of the five senses, is that river Euphrates, because down it comes the cargo of mortal mind which we all buy and worship. The false cargo of mortal mind comes down the senses, and the senses say, oh, isn't that a beautiful thing there? Isn't that a wonderful thing there? And if I could just get my hand on some of that over there. The five senses are the river Euphrates, and they bind us to the four angels. Let's call these four angels four levels of our divine will, in which we are first willing, and then submissive, and then receptive to that will, and finally the fourth, because we are willing, submissive, receptive, we are able to walk forth and to do the divine will, to live in the action of the divine will. And now these four angels are revealed then as the willingness in us, submissiveness, receptivity, and the action of the will of the Father. They were told to withhold their action until we had been sealed. And now that man knows the nature of mortal mind is to deceive, and that matter is the imitation mortal mind casts forth of the perfect spirit, the impulse to be willing, submissive, receptive, and to live in the action of spirit is felt in the soul of man, dissolving the false sense of consciousness. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of men. The slaying is always the laying aside of another degree of mortal mind, slaying the false mortal mind beliefs. You see, you're moving toward the realization of Christ's mind, dying to the false, being born of the new. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000 and I heard the number of them. These horsemen, these numberless horsemen, are those who have come out of the consciousness of body. They're absent from the body. They're living in the will of the Father. They walk the earth both visible and invisible. Some have made transition, some are not. Some are still visible in the flesh. We are to be among these horsemen if we are not already. And always, these numberless horsemen are the influences behind the veil ever working to liberate us, to penetrate our consciousness as we open. Always surrounding us, ever present. Now the allness of God is more of an immediate fact that we are ready to accept at this level. For we are in the sixth trumpet. And I saw the horses in a vision, and there sat on them having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone. Now we see the breastplates represent the power of spirit coming through consciousness. And the power of spirit lies in the jacinth, the brimstone, the fire. The fire would be the truth. The jacinth will. I don't really feel I have this particular place clear. The brimstone, the justice. We are being introduced to the righteousness of the Spirit, which transcends the human sense of righteousness. And these symbols are telling us then that there is a new authority being born in us, an authority which is superseding the mortal mind which had been our authority. We are becoming aware then of a new light, we have identified mortal mind in ourself, and because of this identification we are able to recognize the truth, where in the lie of mortal mind we had been blind to the truth. Whereas before we worshiped God in name only, now we are receiving the living Spirit of God. We're in a state of change of consciousness. The heads of these horses are as the heads of lions. That's the authority of Spirit in us. The authority of the Lion of Judah, the authority of the Christ. We can now recognize that inner impulse which takes us out of world mind. We are receptive to the Christ. We know our shepherd's voice. We are in a state of one will, living in the one will of the Father now, independent of the false, the imitative will of mortal mind. You have reached the place where you can be capable of receiving the will through Christ in you. Now that divine state of being is while in your mortal appearance of selfhood. That is Christ in you realized, fed from above, not on the bread of the world, but fed on the bread that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Father. This is a condition of being which is the destiny of every individual on the earth. And it should be, for all of us, a level at which we are now feeling comfortable, able to relax, able to recognize the tempter in our midst as mortal mind, able to know that out there the images presented in form are not divine creation and therefore are not sustained by divinity, able to know further that every material form that we see represents the lie about the divine image and likeness that stands there. This is the change in consciousness in you which permits you to stand ye still. Now there's a very important realization at this place that should take place. That everything out there, visibly, was not placed there by God. It only takes normal intelligence to realize that. You don't have a bomb burst into God's garden. You don't have flowers devastated by the wheels of a truck. You don't have people in panic. If they were all placed out there by God, you're looking at concept, human concept, mortal mind concept, but it isn't out there if only God is out there. And this is how we learn that because God is all and God is not that material appearance out there, it isn't there. It can't be there. Something else must be there. And that spiritual something else that is there isn't going to go away. It's always going to be there. The invisible Christ is not going to go away. Now, what is out there that appears to us has not been placed there by God. Who has placed it there? Mortal mind, fine. But why do you see it? Why do you tangle with it? Why do you label it good or bad? Because mortal mind in you is doing it. Now at this place, for each of us who is striving to come to a place where we are dominant and not dominated, learn this, please. There's nothing out there that you have to change. This little fellow in you that is looking out there and proclaiming that good or bad, this little fellow is a liar. Mortal mind in you which says that out there is good and that out there is bad, that mortal mind in you is the liar. You have only one person in the universe to overcome. Not the armies out there, not the floods out there, not the fires out there. Not the lacks and the limitations out there. They aren't there. God is there. You have that self, that serpent in the midst, which says God is not there. These other things are there. This is the fellow to overcome. The serpent in the midst. Nothing else. And if you only spend 2 weeks working on that serpent in the mist, instead of the world outside, you discover the reality of that statement. And that's the importance of the sixth trumpet. It isolates for us the cause of the world problems as not external to ourselves, but rather as the invisible serpent which Moses raised up in the wilderness. That false consciousness in us which looks out at the kingdom of God on earth and pronounces it this world of war, of hate, of violence, of good and bad. It isn't there that way at all. And so we're coming to the place where we're willing to accept the allness of God, meaning this is the Garden of Eden here now. We are the children of God here now. And the tempter in our midst is saying, no, you're not. That tempter is the invisible consciousness of each mortal being. It's the fellow who woke you up this morning, unless you woke up in the spirit. Now, it's that mortal consciousness which pronounces a world of good and evil, or it's the Christ in you which pronounces you're now walking in the Garden of Eden, the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. There is no external evil in the universe, not in Christ consciousness. And any consciousness that is not Christ consciousness is a false consciousness, because Christ is the child of God. If we were to stop and say, well, I understand that, we would not have it. It is necessary to be willing, submissive, receptive, and then to proceed into the action, the deeds that bespeak the consciousness of Christ. And so we must learn to take dominion not over the world, but over the mind of the world that inhabits your body. When you take dominion over the mind of the world in you, you discover you have dominion over the world. That dominion is a beautiful dominion. It does not enable you to go out and do your will. It merely makes you an instrument for the perfect will. And you can measure your fidelity by the degree of harmony that shows forth through your living in that will. Now, I repeat, you must practice taking dominion over the mind in you, not over the world. Whenever your mind identifies an evil on the earth, that is not the mind of God in you. That is mortal mind posing as your mind, and it is not your mind either. Your mind is not identifying evil. That is the mind you have falsely accepted as your mind, and that is the serpent in our midst. The mind that accepts the reality of matter is the mind that is not your mind, but has been posing as your mind in your mortal life. This is the nature of hypnosis. Each of us has an opportunity, through the receptivity to the Christ within, which has already overcome the world mind, to be lifted above, to transcend that false state of mind, which is no mind at all. And that shows the serpent to be nothing but a brass serpent, immobile, helpless, unable to speak. I think it's more or less going home time, so we're going to conclude with this. We still have the seventh trumpet and the conclusion of this sixth trumpet. Would you consider doing this, please? There is an experience which is the discovery of mortal mind in you. There is a something in you, for example, that knows that in 2 hours you're going to be home or sitting in one of your favorite restaurants. That something in you is mortal mind. There is a something in you that knows that tomorrow is Monday and a certain pattern of events must be taken care of tomorrow. That is mortal mind. There is something in you that makes decisions. And if you're still in a mortal consciousness, that is mortal mind. Now that mortal mind does not consult God. That mortal mind does its own will in you. And you go out and you think you're doing your will. You're doing the will of that mortal mind. Perhaps at this moment, that sounds like a statement you can't quite see. But awake thou that sleepest is going to mean your ability to look at the thought process of your mind and the will of your own mind and to recognize that you have been under the influence of a mind that is not your own. A mind that awakened this morning. A mind that decided what you should wear. A mind that can tell you to move your right hand out here and your left hand out there. A mind that can tell you to run across the room, down the hill, up the hill. A mind that can say, get into the car, get out of the car. That is mortal mind. A mind that can tell you all the things that you should do. And it is not the mind of God. That mind in each individual on this earth is mortal mind. There comes a moment when you stand back and you look at it and say, well, you're the same fellow who told me last week I was sick. You're the fellow who told me Uncle Harry died. You're the fellow who told me that my neighbor's son was taking acid and that we shouldn't talk to him anymore. You're the one who told me this. You're the one who told me God is in awe. When you went to the hospital to see Uncle Harry, you were looking at mortal mind, not Uncle Harry. When you look at any sin, disease, or death in this universe, you're looking at mortal mind made visible. When you look at decay, you're looking at mortal mind made visible. When you look at what you call old age, you're looking at mortal mind made visible. Whose mind is it? The mind of God? No, it's the tempter on earth. It's the imitation mind, which is the mind of the mortal, the human mind. I don't know who said it, but a human was called by him a you of a man, just a shadow of a man, a you man. When you are able to look at this mortal mind in you, you have seen the tempter. You have seen all that the Bible is talking about when they say, Satan, get thee behind me. And yet, that mortal mind saw you through the day. You will learn that that not being the Christ mind, it is the anti-Christ mind. It is the tempter in our midst. And the height of wisdom is to learn to look at this mind until you can look at it without taking its thought. Take no thought from that mind in you which is not the Christ mind. Many will heed this, many will not. It has been written 20 centuries. And there are some of us who are still just learning it and still doubting it, and still willing to give our works to the locusts. Now that's where we leave today, with the knowledge that there is a living organism in us called mortal mind, which has pretended to be my mind, which has identified a false universe, and which I, in my innocence, have accepted. It has even identified a false body. For the only body is the body of the soul, the spirit. Each of us has this soul body, which mortal mind is incapable of recognizing. And as you recognize mortal mind, you have the key to the bottomless pit. The recognition of mortal mind as an imposter removes it of its power. And then every idea it advances, every belief it advances, every identification it advances, you can look at and say, sorry. That was in my old consciousness. I have returned to the Father's house. The only mind I recognize is Christ's mind. And it, the immortal mind, can live now, here, in the immortal universe on earth. So we're grateful for our trumpets and the sound, the intensity of their work within us, for they finally are going to awaken us who sleep. And Christ will give us light. Have a happy journey and hope to see you next week.